Glad to be here. Glad to see you all. We're going to be in 3 John this morning. Go ahead and turn on open there. And we'll just start in, verse 1. 3 John, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Let's pray. Holy Father, Lord God, your name has been placed above all other names. You alone are the one true God, the creator of all things. From you come goodness and righteousness, mercy, peace, love, and joy, and hope. We thank you, Lord, that as those who are indwelt with you, that we have the strength from you to endure this life, to be your light as it shines through us, and that we have the hope of an eternal calling through the salvation prepared for us. Thank you for this day, a day and opportunity to get our week started off the right way, to be spiritual. We are no longer mere men, but we are new creations. Thank you for that reminder as we go out this week to honor and glorify you, walking in the truth. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the mornings, we're doing a New Testament overview, and last week we did 3 John. And, you know, I was thinking about these verses all week, and, you know, John writes to this beloved Gaius, but the Holy Spirit saves the letter for the church. And we got a chance to go over the letter and to see why did the Spirit save that for us. And a huge theme of this letter is not only us individually walking in truth, but also supporting others whom we see walking in the truth. And so as I was thinking about that, I wanted to preach this message this week, but I told you last week I couldn't preach this message this week without preaching the one that I did last week. Because he writes here, and he says to his beloved Gaius, okay, I am grateful, in verse 3, for you are walking in the truth. And then in verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. So, last week was more individual accountability. You know, what's the one thing you can control? That's probably a good reminder, right? You know, just picture yourself standing, draw a little circle around yourself, and then just start dumping the things in the circle that you are in control of. What are you in control of? Your attitude, right? What are you in control of? Your words, right? What else are you in control of? The United States government. Oh, that one goes outside the circle, right? You see, you're in control of your words, your actions. You're in control of yourself. Do you know what you are not in control of? Other people's words. Other people's actions. Okay? But the problem is we spend so much time out of our circle trying to control those other things, and we are literally out of control. Because the message last week is, look, you got to control what you can control, and that is you. And look, the Bible calls us, it says we become babes. We become newborns when we become Christians. We got a newborn among us. Are you 18, Gannon? Okay. He's an 18-year-old newborn, right? And spiritually speaking, now indwelt with God's Spirit, is walking and learning how to walk and talk and take care of himself as a new creation. Okay? So, in that process, I've noticed a few things over the years that can stunt that spiritual growth in my own life and from working with others. And so I just said, hey, number one, okay, you got to be humble enough to look yourself in the mirror and say, self, what could I do better? And the other thing that if you do not do will stunt your growth is if you do not pray. And I don't mean like, good God, good food, let's, you know, bless it to our body. I mean like actually pray to God. So we individually are in control of our faith. Okay, our spiritual growth. So he says, guys, I'm so happy to see you walking in the truth. And then he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. That hits me hard. How cool was that to see all the guys up here? That was pretty cool. And we need visuals like that sometimes to see what the Lord is doing in the lives of people and in their families. Because it's really easy to get discouraged and to see the bad. And the problem is the bad, even though it's not greater than the good, when we focus on it, it makes it seem bigger than the good. I do that all the time. And God's asking me to have faith. No greater joy than this, to see the brethren walking in truth. I got to tell you, I do as best I can, near as it depends on me, to grow in faith and conviction on a personal level. If you want to give me some feedback, you're welcome to. I will do my best through humility and prayer to see if you're giving me good feedback and to pray to God. But I got to tell you, the next layer of that thing that brings me greater joy than that is to see you guys doing it too. That just about fires me up. And so the thought that I have all the time, as an evangelist particularly, is how can I help others cultivate faith in their life? Maybe somebody's not even a Christian. Haven't been immersed in water in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. They're still in their sins. Haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38 says. They don't even have God's Spirit yet. Okay? Will we share the gospel with them? In the church, how do I help people grow in their faith? What can I do to support you? What can I do to help you and to encourage you? And you know what? At the end of the day, is there anything I can do to increase your faith? I can't. Because that has got to come from you and from you alone. And it has to be directed towards God and towards Jesus Christ alone. But that still doesn't mean that we can't encourage and help one another. So I'm always thinking like, how do I help somebody? I was like, I can't just be so nice that they just grow in their faith. I can't just be so helpful that they grow in their faith. You know, maybe God has something greater planned for them, but until they realize, what can I do to help? And I came to this realization many years ago. Hebrews chapter 13. (clears throat) I can't give you your faith. I can't give you an increase of your faith, and we can't, and vice versa, or across the board. But we can encourage each other, and sometimes that helps, sometimes it's not. People aren't open, they're not ready. But what I do know scripturally is faith can be imitated. Faith can absolutely be imitated. Now, ultimately, our faith and imitation is of Jesus Christ. Amen? But the Bible is going to teach that there are faithful men and women on this earth who are imitating God, and you should imitate them. And it's a help, because it really helps. You know, God talks about forbearance and mercy and peace and kindness, and we understand these things, but sometimes we don't really fully wrap our mind around it until we see a brother or sister in our lives doing it. Then we really understand, oh, that's what that looks like. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, incredibly encouraging, says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." Now, there's a pretty important line in here, right? Consider their conduct. Like, you need to go out and find somebody who's like actually living by godly principles, that actually has the fruit of the Spirit in their life. You don't just run around imitating everybody, right? But he says, consider the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Look, I can't give you your faith, but what I can do is I can make sure that my spiritual house is in order. And I can do my best to be a light, to be encouraging, and to show you the love of Christ. And that can encourage others to develop and grow their faith and their convictions. Jared said in his meditation, and it was a quick thought that he was adding on, he said, we can look around and draw encouragement from one another. As he's referring to, you know, encouraging these young guys to come. I couldn't agree more. Do the young people need the old people in the congregation? Yeah. Well, what do the young people need the old people for? It's not to help them use their cell phones. Right? I mean, what do the young people need the old people for? Well, guess what? The older people have lived a little longer, and they got wisdom. And there is no other way to get it in this life other than to have just done it. Look, you can look at somebody and you can say, oh, wow, they're wise beyond their years. And that's possible. But at the end of the day, that's just because they had people in their lives who they've drawn and learned from their other life experiences. And they were just willing to learn the lessons at a younger age. There's only one way to get wisdom. And it's just to flat out have done it and know what works and what doesn't. And that's what older Christians have. Man, these young people, they need the older people. What do they need the older people for? They need an example to look at. How important is the example of older Christians then? Man, it's everything. Because the young people are looking. Do the older Christians need the younger Christians? They do, don't they? Yeah. Jared's got me feeling like right in the middle this morning, you know? It's like, I'm not old by any means, but I didn't make the young person camp. I didn't make the list, you know? Like, what's the cutoff, you know? So I'm kind of like in this like limbo area where I still have my vigor and my, you know, and my, you know, and okay. Do the older people need the younger Christians? Yeah. Well, what do we need them for? They don't know nothing. You know, they still won't take the garbage out spiritually, you know. Got a bunch of, you know, little kid Christians running around think they know everything, but they ain't got no wisdom, you know. Hey, is it easy to kind of get discouraged and run down and like, you know, you're running a race and you run and you start going 10 miles an hour and then you're going, and then you kind of slow down because you're starting to wear out a little bit? Do you think the older people need the vigor and the excitement and the energy of the younger people to keep sparking enthusiasm in a congregation? You see? can't give you your faith, you can't give me mine, but man, we can encourage each other. And we really need each other. Just really appreciated that Lord's Supper. It's hitting me hard today. Faith can be imitated. You know, I had heard all the stories and the ha-has until it actually happened to me. It was last summer. I do like going to Ace Hardware. I pay an extra 20 cents per bolt to do it. But I just spent too many hours standing in the aisles at Lowe's and Home Depot and ain't got no help, you know. And I walk into Ace Hardware and there's three people. How can I assist you today? You know, I'm like, yes, plumbing. Where am I going? Okay. So I really appreciate that. So we go in there one day, can't exactly, we're looking for trimmer line for the, I call it the weed whacker, you know, trimmer line. And so I am standing there, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, thickness, because it's got to match the head on the string trimmer, and price, you always got to look at the price, you know. And so I'm doing this. And I look over and Ethan goes, I was like, huh. Every person in every video always told me that that was going to happen at some point. But, like, he's just sitting there. He's standing in front of all this stuff on the wall. He has no idea what it does. And he's trying to figure out, how am I supposed to behave? How am I supposed to act? So he looks at Dad. And he does what Dad's doing, you know? Faith can be imitated, right? Kids, really, really great example of that. Okay, go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Paul actually writes to the Corinthians and he says, imitate me as I also follow Christ. I'm like, this is scriptural concept, right? That you find faithful, spiritual men and women, consider the conduct of their faith, and if they have the fruit of the Spirit in their life, you ought to ask them, hey, how have you accomplished that in their life? And they'll say, this is how I've applied the scriptures of the principles of wisdom from the scriptures in my life. This is what has worked. And it helps us. And look, you know, they're not the, obviously we're following Christ Jesus, okay? But the Bible's encouraging us to find spiritual people and to imitate that. Okay, before I read Hebrews 6, I don't know how well this is going to work, but when I think about imitation and how important we are for each other, so around here, we have a habit of standing on the last song, on the last verse of the song, right? And we always say, stand in what? Preparation for prayer. You know, because we want to, you know, stand, and that's something we do. And so, have you ever been here when, you know, the song leader didn't directly say? This always happens on Lord's Day evening. You know, the song leader didn't directly say, "All right, stand on the last verse." You know, so then, so we're all singing the last verse, and all of us are like, we get this feeling like something's off, and you're like, okay, oh, we're usually standing. Okay, that's what it is. You know how, isn't it funny, like you go out to your car and you're like, I forgot something. But I don't know what I forgot. I just know that I forgot something. You know, and then 15 seconds later, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot my wallet. Okay, so I'm sitting here the other day and I'm like, something's off. I get thinking, oh, we're usually standing. Okay, all right. Should we stand? And what did I do next? I just start looking around at the rest of you. Are you noticing this, Larry? Are you? And I'm like, is Kevin noticing? You know, what's Lydia doing? Pat's in the back. I'm like, yeah. And I realized I didn't know what to do next. We usually stand. We always stand, but we didn't stand. I wasn't sure what to do. So I went and looked at you to see what you were doing. If Larry looks back at me, and he's like, you know, I glance over at Jared and he's just like, okay, I'm going to stand up and I don't mind being the first one, right? But man, if you don't make some eye contact with some people and secure that general feeling is kind of universal and you're the only one to stand up, you put the rest of us in an awkward position. Because now we're like, okay, they're standing, we're not standing. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Isn't that amazing how we get stuck in these situations and we don't know what to do next? Our default is to see what other people are doing. Is that always good? No. Okay, so that's why this is a harmless example. We know how to navigate our lives and we stand, and that's the point of the letter of Jude we read this morning, right? Yeah, we could sit around and we could talk about our salvation and that would be fun, but he said, I considered it worthy to write to you that you contend earnestly for the faith. So we know where we stand scripturally and when we don't stand, amen? But I just got thinking, like, okay, now here's another example, and I don't know how well this one's going to work, but you guys just have to, like, I'm the one standing in front of you. I'm risking it. I'm risking all of this. So you guys just follow along, okay? So, okay, I'm going to do an Ethan jump off of the couch, and you guys are going to clap for me, okay? But it's got to, like, we're just going to clap, all right? And you guys, you know, pretend like I'm your five-year-old son, and you either have him or you had him, okay? Okay, and then you guys are going to, you're going to be so excited for me, and the whole congregation is going to clap, right? Are we ready? Here we go. Watch, Mom. Well, the church is our heavenly mother, right? Okay, watch, Mom. Have you ever noticed that about applause? Do it again. And you have the young kids in the back that like ruining the illustration, but have you guys ever noticed that? What starts is us all clapping at our own speed and rate. We have it embedded in us to match the ones next to us. And what starts as this grand applause always ends with kind of a pretty syncopated, unified clap. You guys ever heard that, even in big audiences? You ever wonder why that is? It is so embedded in us to, because we're not supposed to be nomads and lone wolves. We don't have to go at life on our own. God gave us the church. He put that in us, right? We're a group. This is a family, the household of God, right? He has given us the church so that we can be there to support one another, to encourage one another. And even subconsciously, God put it in our minds to unify with people. And I realized that years ago. I showed the school kids that. I thought, boy, I thought that was always really interesting, that what starts is a pretty, just got to start clapping, everybody's off. There's usually, you can hear it, a pretty unified beat towards the end of it where our claps even become unified with one another. Thanks for bearing with me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, he says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Bible's encouraging us. Like, this is tough. Be strong. Cling to the hope of salvation. And imitate the others around you. Imitate others who are doing good. I guess, we can go to Romans 12. I guess the thought that it leaves me with is, really, it's not so much I want you to walk away today thinking I can help someone else's faith so they can imitate mine. I still have 10 minutes left, okay? Whoever you are, I... is what I want us to realize today is we control what we can control. And we establish that that is a nice little circle around us, our words, our attitude, and our behavior. What I want you to understand today is faith can be imitated, so just make sure you've got your spiritual house in order. See, for years I thought, you know, how can I help someone else? You know, and look, we encourage, we help, we support, we edify. That's not what I'm saying. But I can't give you your faith. Now, faith can be imitated, as we've seen through the plethora of examples. But what I really want you to take from this is your job is just to make sure that you're imitating Jesus Christ, knowing that others can draw from that example. Does that make sense? I don't want us walking away today being like, okay, it's all right. So just as an example, we'll use Super Dave here. Yeah, so yeah, Nolan said that I can't give Super Dave his faith, but I can help him by being a good example for him. So Super Dave, you need to follow my example. No, I just get back to working on making sure I'm following Jesus Christ by faith. You see that? Knowing it's the greatest, single most greatest thing I can do to help other people. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. I gave us lots of examples to show that we by nature imitate kids, the congregation, clapping, I mean, whatever. But the lesson this morning is you want to help people make it to heaven? And you pray and you sit there and you tell people that you really care about souls, the best thing you can do is hit it out of the park for the Lord in your own life. That is all you can do. Because guess what? That's what's in your circle of control. That is it. I'll remind us, other people's thoughts, other people's opinions, other people's actions, other people's reactions to our opinions, those are out of our control. But I hear that sometimes. Oh, well, so-and-so did something. Okay. And I always say, have you talked to them? Well, no. Well, why are you talking to me? It's not in the circle. Now, if it impacts you and you want to make it in your circle, you got to go to the source. Okay? That's how God designed this. You want to really help people? Don't worry so much about what everyone's doing unless they're practicing sin, the Bible says. But don't over worry yourself about what everyone else is doing. You will drive yourself mad. Absolutely mad. And maybe even bitter. It's you really want to help people? You imitate Jesus Christ. We see verses where faith can be imitated among one another. We've read them, but the focus is, so we know it's possible, but the focus is you follow Christ. Amen? Just wanted to look at Romans 12, because last week was personal conviction. How do I increase and grow personal conviction? Lots of things we can do. Make sure we're involving an honest spirit that's willing to look yourself in the mirror and that you're praying to God and you're growing and working through His teachings, because these are the only things, the Word of God is the only wisdom that can produce change in your life. Amen? So then, I've noticed that in Romans 12, because he says, don't think so highly of yourself, right? Think so as to have sound judgment in the context of a body being placed together by its individual parts. So we need its individual parts performing their role. And so, you know, you think about the body, you know, if our right foot decided it was a hand and it didn't want to be a foot anymore, now you got the body of Christ doing this. So God's like, go out and make disciples of all nations, you know, and we're like, okay, you guys want to be Christians? You need the individual parts working together so that body can go out as the light that shines the glory of the Lord in the darkness, which needs it so bad, and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, amen? Now, what if its parts aren't growing? Right? You go out there and like, you know, one ear's like the size of a marble, you know. What if the body parts just weren't growing? The leg just never grew in proportion with the body. See, we individually not only need to be fulfilling the role that God has placed us in the body, but we need to be growing. Okay? So then you transition that thought, because that's what he's talking about in Romans, is that we're individual members of a body. And then you transition that thought to, look, John said there was nothing that gave him more joy than to see the children of God walking in truth. Does that encourage you? And then you got like 18 to 24-year-olds standing up here. Have every reason in the world, from a worldly sense, to ditch this thing and to go follow the world. But yet they're here. Is today the Super Bowl? One of the greatest excuses to miss an assembly in the world. But it's the Super Bowl, right? And these guys are here. He gave John nothing greater than to see the children of God walking in the truth. That fires me up. How about you? Your example matters. And it encourages others. And these guys, I mean, do you guys understand how many of you I have imitated your faith and you have been a huge encouragement to me personally and to my family? You know, I'm looking around here. How many of you? I have been in your home because you invited me over for some reason. Whether it was dinner or you brought the fellowship group over to the house or, you know, well, you didn't have me come fix anything because I can't fix stuff. So maybe that's why you haven't had me yet. But I'm not saying it's not just because you invite people over for dinner. Like, I look around and, you know, I've been Christian since 2011. And it's like, man. Just in that example alone, the number of homes I've been in, how much you have encouraged me. There are huge components of seeking the lost, practicing hospitality that I've learned from you guys here. Because I saw it. I get it from the Word of God, from Jesus Christ. Amen? But you can't sit there and tell me that you have not been a benefit to me. I don't believe that. I have imitated your example. And you, I still can't cook, but you've shown me how to practice hospitality. I've learned that from you as an example. So Romans 12... I love the way this chapter works because, you know, last week's message, if you remember, don't think more highly of yourself. Understand where God's placed you in the body. Do your part in the body. He doesn't stop there. Now he starts just listing off some practical applications of Christianity. You ever want to know what a Christianity looks like? I mean, start in Romans 12. He says in verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Some of us are hands and feet, you know, and bones and sinews and muscles. And whatever gift God's given you, you got to figure out what it is so you can exercise it. Because you got to be a part of the body. He says, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheer. If you don't know what to do today, pick one. Man, do you know how thankful I am for Sunday school teachers? And how blessed we are in this congregation to have the depth of the teachers that we have? That's amazing. And you know what's really cool? And I'm telling you right now, from me to you, I'm about to teach us through Daniel on Sunday mornings. Do you know that there's half a dozen guys in this congregation with a week's notice and the reading the book of Daniel could come up here and teach that class? And do you know how rare that is in a congregation? I am dead serious. And that we can offer Sunday school classes to every 2 and 3 year age gaps, people, and you... Look, I've always appreciated the Sunday school teachers. I've always been a Sunday school teacher, but now I got my kids coming home with the lessons and the crafts. Thank you, teachers. It's a place in the body, is it not? He who teaches in his teaching. But he doesn't stop there. We got 3 minutes. I want you guys to see the end of Romans 12. You want to know what you can do that's following and imitating Christ that can be imitated by others? Love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's a devotion. That's not a up until they wrong me the first time I can take them off the list. It's a devotion. Give preference to one another in honor. The number of times the brethren have defaulted their will to a will of someone else and preferred theirs over their own, the others over their own. We give preference to each other. It's not my way or the highway. That's not Christianity. Not lagging behind in diligence. Whew. You know, we need to bring words like accountability, diligence, and duty back into Christian culture. Like duty, which means you do it, even though it doesn't feel good. Yeah? Diligent, not lagging behind in diligent. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You want to know how you can contribute to the needs of the saints? Just make it your agenda to know where the needs are. Then, that's the first step. If you really want to know how to contribute to the needs, you don't have to worry about having money to help people or the time, because a lot of you are busy. Don't stress yourself. Just know where the needs are. The fulfillment of it will fall in place after that. That one hit me hard a few years ago. Okay? Ask about people. See how they're doing. Somebody hasn't been around for a few weeks. Ask somebody who knows them. Where they've been? Do you know? Is there a need? Practicing hospitality, I gave that example earlier, is a way I have imitated your faith. Okay? What does that really look like? How do you really make somebody feel at home in a different home? How do you make them feel comfortable and wanted and provide for them? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That is probably the single most greatest characteristic we could have as a congregation that would make us stand like light in the world, so bright we wouldn't have to do anything else, even though we do. Just when, and that's the thing, man. Someone hurts us, and we gotta hurt back. It's our nature. Maybe. And a lot of the times, you know, because we're Christians, so we just don't punch people in the face, so then we just become passive-aggressive. And we show our aggression passively, right? We don't do that. You want to shine that light? Imitate Christ Jesus and make a huge impact in the life of others and in the lost? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Because when someone wrongs us, the first thing we do is go to someone else and say, they wronged me. Well, just stop. Bless. Pray to God. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I don't like crying. How about you? This one's hard for me. You know, the Bible's encouraging me to get in there and to get in there so deep, Jacob, that if we got to cry it out, bro, we got to cry it out. Someone's hurting. You know, because look, this is kind of my personality when I was growing up, like as a teenager and in college. Like, if somebody had died or something bad had happened, I'd always kind of be like, I'm sorry. Like, it's difficult to get in people's lives when it's tough. Because it's painful and it hurts and you're probably going to cry. But the Bible's saying don't avoid it. It's easy to rejoice with those who rejoice, but the Bible also wants us to weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Does that mean we have to root for the same team today? Yes? Team Jesus, right? Are you guys going for the Chiefs? Is that why you said that? Okay. No, we're not. Okay. Can of worms. Condense. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Associate with the lowly. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Whew. How about that one? And if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Hey, you guys keep praying for each other. My prayer is for the unity of this congregation and for the growth of this congregation. And if we each individually stay in our circle of control and devote ourselves to prayer and to our faith in the Lord, we can do great things for Him. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear God, you could have just given us the law 2.0. Here's the updated commandments now that you're Christians. We're going to change some of the old ones and make new ones. You could have done that, but that doesn't produce practicing righteousness. And the other thing that it lacks is an example. Lord, we thank you so much that as a part of your plan, one that no other sacrifice could truly be made, a propitiation that could truly intercede for the saints of man, so for the sins of man. We know that you, Lord, had to pay that price. But in your wisdom, you came. You gave us an earthly example to start with. And then you seated yourself in glory and left that picture behind in the scriptures so that we can look at it and so that we can imitate it. These things are spiritual, which means we don't see them with our eyes. They're seated in the heavenly places, and we are on earth, physically speaking. So sometimes these spiritual concepts are hard to understand or to see. We're so grateful, Lord, that you've designed it where those who can see you in glory and are practicing these things and understand it and have great faith, that we can see that in their lives, and it helps us understand. We really are Jesus to this world and to one another in our example. So we thank you for that, that we can see that, and just pray that we would continue to be excited about what you have done for us, that you have included us in this, and that we would be motivated to have our faith firmly planted on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.